Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship here at First United Methodist Church of Clinton. Today we are continuing our sermon series on how to be, looking at the Sermon on the Mount from the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Today focusing on how to be important. I think all of us like to feel important, like to be important, and Jesus says, in order to be important in the kingdom of God, you have to be salt and light for the world. So today, we're going to learn how to be salty. Some of you don't need any help, but we're going to talk about it anyway, as today we reflect on being salt and light for the world so that we might be important in God's kingdom. Welcome to worship.
Cast your cares upon Him, lay your life upon Him, for only He is worthy to stand. In tribulation, trial, and sorrow, when you can't see through tomorrow, He'll reveal to you the frailty of a man. Can you reach to love your neighbor? Will they see the sweet, sweet Savior shining through the charity you give? Do you hear His call to follow? You must lay down your life to follow, for only when you die are you free to live. We must go as a light to the nations. Take up the cross, follow where He leads. We must go as a light to the nations. Prepare to wear His crown of thorns to bring His peace. Take up the cross, follow where He leads. We must go as a light to the nations. Prepare to wear His crown of thorns to bring His peace. Cast your cares upon Him. Lay your life upon Him, whose faithfulness and love is always there. Are you prepared to take His cross to bear? Will His love be what you freely shared? In humility, cast down your cares.
Sisters and brothers, I sometimes think that I get to say thank you a lot for your generosity. And maybe you're tired of me saying thank you, but I am in no way tired of gratitude for you. Thank you for the ways you have been generous in your gifts. In the midst of all the uncertainty of this world, one thing that we can clearly depend upon is the generosity of God's people. Whether it's through your gifts of offerings and tithes, whether it's through the ways I know you're giving through prayer, giving through service to others in this time of need. In all these ways, you are being generous and allowing God's blessing in your life to become a blessing for others. So thank you. But keep up the good work. We're, if you can believe it, halfway done with 2020. And I know a lot of us would rather just the whole year be done already. But we have much work ahead of us. And although we don't quite know exactly what that will all look like, we know there will be a need for God's people to be at mission in God's world. And so I want to encourage you to continue to be generous and be a part of our mission. You can do that by giving. Right now, you can do it online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can do that securely and safely right from the comfort of your laptop or iPhone right there. Or you can mail your gift into the church to 100 Mount Salis Road here in Clinton. Thank you. Keep up the good work. You are important. And please know you're making an eternal difference for the world. Thank you.
Join me in the affirmation of our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A lot of preachers spend a lot of time thinking about how to start their sermon. Sometimes we think about a joke, kind of break the ice, make people laugh, or we think of a story to draw someone in through a narrative that maybe or maybe not relates to the actual text that the sermon is supposed to be about, or an illustration. An image or a metaphor that helps to get the mind beginning to work. And all of those are great ways to start a sermon, to reel people in. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus begins his famous Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter of Matthew with a list of types of people that are blessed because of their situation. But it's not a list that we might think of as particularly blessed. Jesus begins by lifting up the poor, the heartbroken, the meek, the hungry, the thirsty, those who are persecuted, and those who strive to make peace. And he calls all of this group blessed. As a way of saying, the way to be blessed in the kingdom of God is to find yourself in the midst of these people. And he's probably lost some of the crowd already. If you don't grab someone right in the first few minutes of a sermon, they might wander off in their mind or these days flip over to something else online. But I do imagine that some people there that day heard that list of people that Jesus calls blessed, and maybe for the first time in their life, they saw themselves in the kingdom of God. They saw that they had a place. There were people there that day who were mourning, who were heartbroken, who were hungry, who were thirsting, who were poor, but also poor in spirit. And Jesus lifts them up and says that you are blessed. And it's to that group of people who find themselves blessed or who want to be blessed, he then invites them further into the sermon and moves into a topic that calls them out of their current circumstance and teaches them how to be important. You've already seen how to be blessed. Now we're going to talk about how to be important in the kingdom of God. Hear these words that Jesus says from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and following. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can it be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I imagine that you've heard a sermon or two on being salt and light. It's a common enough passage for preachers to preach, but it's also kind of odd if you step back and think just for a moment, what does it mean to be salt? As I said last week, we're here at our kitchen table here at my house, and on most kitchen tables, you probably have salt. And for those of you who like salt, you know, it's good. For those of you who maybe are getting too much salt in your diet, well, we got to be careful of that. And salt as a product, an item, has been with us for millennia, for thousands of years. Salt was essential to the Jewish life. The diet, for instance, salt, as you know, gives flavor, helps things to taste good. Salt also is a preservative. Remember, in Jesus' day, there were no refrigerators, no freezers. And a way that you could keep meat and other things to last longer on the shelf, so to speak, was to salt it. It preserved it and extended its life. It was also essential to make bread. Salt is an essential ingredient in making bread. So much so that in Hebrew, there's a term of speech, a phrase of speech, an idiom, for those of you who remember that grammar in your school, a phrase that in Hebrew translated to share salt with someone. And if you shared salt with someone, it meant that you ate a meal with them. It's a phrase that meant sharing food with one another. That's how important salt was, how essential salt was to the daily bread of the Jewish people. But it also had a religious significance in the Jewish context. Salt was commanded to be used for burnt sacrifices. When someone would come and make their sacrifice at the temple, the priest would sprinkle salt on the sacrifice while burning it as a sign of purification and as a sign of obedience to the command in Ezekiel. Salt was also used in priestly ordinations. When a new a Hebrew priest would be ordained, consecrated, salt was used as a part of that ordination. Again, as a sign of significance, of setting apart, of a covenant relationship with God. And it was also used to symbolically purify water to be used for holy purposes. Some people think, oh, how do you get holy water? Well, at least in the ancient Jewish temple context, you would say prayers over water, put salt in it as a sign of purification, as a sign of preservation, and that water would then be holy and able to be used for religious purposes. So you can see, salt was so important both to the daily physical reality of Jewish life and to the religious life. Now, these days, when we say someone is salt of the earth, maybe we think, or we're trying to say that they're humble, they're down to earth, they're a regular Joe or Jane, right? They're the salt of the earth, someone you can depend upon, doesn't put on airs, is a good kind of guy, gal. Or sometimes we say that somebody's a bit salty, right? Maybe they're a bit rough around the edges. Maybe they're not as polished or professional, or they're a little bit loose-lipped or a little bit rough, a little bit colorful personality. They're a bit salty. And we might use these as ways of either putting someone down or complimenting them, but in a way that seems to think that they're not as important as other people. But that's not what Jesus is saying. So you see, when Jesus says, "You are salt," he's saying it in his context of the Jewish life and times of his day. So he is saying, you who have found yourself blessed to be in the kingdom of God, you are the salt of the earth. You are important. You are essential. You are needed. You have a priestly role. You have a holy purpose in the kingdom of God. You are salt. But if the salt has lost its flavor, then you're no good anymore. There's a warning, right, that salt can lose its purpose, lose its importance, its significance. And so Jesus warns against that. You are salt, but don't let your flavor go away. And second, he calls them, "You are the light of the world." This is probably easier for us to understand, right? Because light is still so important to us these days. And we understand all throughout Scripture how God uses the image of light to teach us about God's presence, God's revelation, and God's salvation. All of that light imagery helps us to understand the significance and relationship to the divine. And we also probably understand, as Jesus says, that you are the light of the world, that we are to reflect God's light into the world. We are not the source of the light, by no means. We are ones who reflect that light into the world. And what I love about this is when he says, "You are salt and you are the light of the world," you've probably had this pointed out to you before. If not, I love this. In Greek, in the Greek text here that Matthew's writing in, he uses the third person plural, which is y'all. And I love it because there's really not a good English translation except in the Southern English. Y'all are the light of the world. Not you by yourself, individually, on your own, out there on an island, but together, collectively, the people of God. Y'all are the light of the world. But, Jesus says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And the image there also is from Jesus' day, or the idea that the safest place for a city to be built was on top of a hill. It provided protection. It provided some isolation when you needed it. But it also set you up to be visible to the surrounding area. So whatever you did was on full display. You couldn't hide yourself up on top of the hill. How you behaved, good and bad, was seen by all. So, you are the light of the world, but be warned, people are watching to see if you shine brightly, if you live for God, and if in so doing, does your light draw others to the light of God. So Jesus tells us, we who are blessed to be his people, he tells us how to be important. How to be important. And what is important in the kingdom of God is that we are salt and light for the world. Jesus asks each of us desiring to be blessed in the kingdom, each of us desiring to be important, not to focus on necessarily our own things, but to focus on being salt and light for the world. Now, I want to unpack that just one more way, one more time. I don't want to do it in reverse because, you know, I like to. So let's start with that last part, for the world, right? So we're going to look at that sentence, you're salt and light for the world. That last part, for the world, do you know that Matthew in his gospel uses the world 9 times and it's never in a negative connotation? In chapters 13 and 14, we are told that the world is God's own creation. In chapter 5 and 13, 26 and 28, we're told that the world is our mission field to go and to be in mission to. And in chapter 6, we are told that the world is the place where God desires His will to be done. So the world is not a place that we necessarily should be afraid of or retreat from, but rather go into with confidence because we are to be for the world. We are called to have that as our mission focus, the world. John Wesley, the founder of our particular flavor of Christianity that we call Methodist, was often asked what his church assignment was. Where do you preach? What church do you work for? And he would say, the world is my parish, meaning anywhere I go, I am called to be witness to God. The world is our mission field. We are to be for the world. And so we as a church are called to pray for and work in God's world. A church that is focused only on itself, focused only on its members, focused only on its building, that kind of church has turned itself inward and shut out the world. We are called to be for the world. And that world needs that message now more than ever. This is not a time to retreat inward, but rather to live boldly for the world. Going one step back in that phrase, we are called to be light. And again, the primary function of light is not to be seen, but rather light is used to let other things be seen for who and what they truly are. We see everything in this world by light of the sun. And in the same way, in God's revealing light, we have the opportunity to help the world and those in it see themselves for who they are and who God is and who God calls them to be. We are not the light. It's very important to understand. We are not the light, but we bear the reflection of the light into the world. We are called to shine in this world, to let our light shine, and there is so much darkness in this world, so much pain, so much division, so much strife, that we light bearers are needed now more than ever before. And Christians, if I can talk honestly with us, I've noticed on social media at least, that sometimes Christians, we're not very good at bearing our light. We get pulled into ways of darkness. We get pulled into fighting and arguing, and we get pulled into all of these ways of destruction. Because I can guarantee you, no one has ever changed their mind because of somebody else on the internet. But we do have the opportunity to bear the light of God. To speak truth, yes, but to speak the light of God's truth. To speak love and hope, forgiveness and peace. To share, to invite, to actually pick up the phone. How about that? And call someone. Write them a letter. Pick up their favorite lunch and just drop it off at their house. You don't need a church program to do that, because y'all are the church. Y'all are the light of the world. So you can shine in this world and reflect the light of God, who brings judgment with forgiveness, who brings rules with relationships, who brings a law with love. Let that light shine. And finally, be salt, right? We've worked our way back. For the world, we are to be light, and we are to be salt. Salt is essential, remember? Essential to preserving and purifying, to bring out the best flavor in this world and in one another. Salt amplifies the taste of anything it's added to, right? I remember being a young man and introduced to this fact, right, that there are two ways to eat watermelon, right? One with salt and the wrong way, right? Who knew that adding salt to watermelon would bring out its flavor? But that's what salt does. It enhances and brings out the flavor of other things. And we can do that. We can add to the beauty of this world rather than tearing it down. We can add to the peace of this world rather than sowing more conflict. We can be salt. We can be important. We can be essential. But if we don't, if we let that go, if we give up, the thing about salt is it doesn't really ever go bad. You're not going to get poisoned from day-old salt. But salt can lose its flavor. It can just become weak. It can become useless. And perhaps that's the worst thing of all, right? So many of us right now feel useless. We're not able to do the things we used to do, not able to live the way we used to live, go the places we used to go, help the people that we normally helped, and we've been struggling. Friends, we don't have to be useless because we are salt. And in all those ways I talked about bearing light, we can be salt in this world. We can live our lives in ways that add to and not take away from. Be salt and light for the world. See, Jesus wants us to be important. He wants His church, His people, His bride to be important in this world that He loves and gave His life for. He wants us to be important, but He wants us to do it by showing the world there is a way to live where people are honest, yes, but loving, where people are accountable, yet forgiving, where people are just and merciful. A life full of flavor, a life full of light, a life full of love for this world. We are to be salt and light for the world so that others might taste and see that the Lord is good. So my friends, this week, I challenge you to live into this sermon. If you want to be blessed, you have to be important. And to be important in the kingdom of God is to be salt and light for the world. Go be important. The world needs you. Amen.
Many are on the pain of what they feel. So I will go down on my knees and say, shine your light on us that all may see your goodness. Shine your face on us that all tell your story. I want to be one with you, changed by the light of your glory. Many are asking who can show us something real, longing for hope.
Now, dear friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance to you and give you peace. And go in peace to be salt and light for the world. Amen.